Well, welcome one and all. We are back. This is the lovely Olive, aka the real deal Olive. My name is DJ Val, aka Don Valentino. I take care of you. You take care of me.
Capiche.
Capiche? Capiche.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Bonjour. Bonsoir. Hola Kita.
Hola Kita.
Sanu Bonani.
Sanu Bonami.
How are you all?
We are very, very well. Great worship this morning, by the way. Gotta say
thank
that we've
you.
Been missing that the past couple of weeks. Great worship. But we're super excited to be here, aren't we?
Yes, we are. The summer is nothing to be excited about, but we are here.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh my soul and all that is within me. Another name, Val Sinatra. Shout out to Auntie Kit Kat for that one, man. I like that one too.
Mm-hmm. He has a song for every situation.
Right? I do, you know.
It's the DJ in you. It's okay.
It's the DJ in me.
Mm-hmm.
The DJ in me loves the DJ in you.
I have no DJ, DJ in me. None
DJ
at all.
In you. It's funny you say that. I had a vision this morning.
Oh.
Yeah. It was you actually hosting a music show without me.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, I can see that happening because I love music, but DJ?
That's what it calls. You're called a disc jockey.
Disc jockey.
Once you don the mic on the headphones.
No, there's the element of mixing, knowing what
song
goes, the tempo. No,
yeah, you like
there's
music.
There's more to it. I love music, not just like. I love music.
Oh, so if you're a music lover, you'll come up with a playlist of songs and then, you know, you just, you know.
Okay, I'll say amen to that, hosting. Have you all been? Are you all having visions like DJ Valleys? Or was it vision or a dream? Whichever.
It was
one.
A vision. It was a waking vision.
It was.
I was awake when I had it. You know, you can have a sleeping vision. I think you can. I was awake when I had the vision.
Okay.
And I was. In fact, it was as I was going towards the kitchen.
Okay.
I get a lot of inspiration on my way to where the food is.
Need we say any more? Let's get into it.
Okay.
Have you all been? Hope you're good. The sniffles have been making their way around. I hope you're keeping well and healthy. Because one minute it's hot, one minute it's cold. Where's the summer? I don't know what's happening with it. But hey ho, we'll keep believing. Last year was a washout. We hope this year isn't. But anyhow, so last week we looked at the dirtiest cities in the world. And I said, we'll look at the cleanest. Wow, I was blown away. There are so
I know what.
Many. Yes. So, answers on the postcard. Tell me, do you know one of the cleanest cities in the world?
Me, DJ Val.
Go ahead.
Sweden.
Which country and city? Okay, Sweden, yeah. Which city? We're talking cities now.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know what the city is.
Stockholm?
Stockholm's the capital. I would have gone for that, but I'm not sure.
But it is.
It is.
Top on the list. As a matter of fact, number four. The list is long. So, please, throw it all in. I was amazed. I didn't realize so many cities had that sort of profile, and the category is as follows.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the cleanliness, the emission, your emission zone.
Yes, like the CO2
the CO2 level, yes.
Oh.
So the cleanliness, the CO2, mm-hmm. and also your sewers. Your water, your drains and your pipes. That's it.
Okay, that's
so
the
those
criteria.
Were the that's how they categorized it. And if you were, there was a point system. Some people, so no, it was a traffic light system. Some people were in green. Some amber and red, but yet, even though they were on the list of the cleanest cities, they still had a red. But it didn't mean they were dirty, but just for the standard that this list was looking for, I was amazed. Which I'll just reel them all out in no specific order. And it's not all, just a few, okay? You mentioned Stockholm. Helsinki topped the list. Singapore, yep. Wellington, you know, in New Zealand. Honolulu, in Hawaii.
Did you want the effects?
No, it's too many. I'll just reel them through.
I can do them quickly.
Okay. Helsinki, Copenhagen, Kobe in Tokyo. No, Kobe in Korea, I'm sorry. Tokyo, Melbourne in Australia.
Australia, yeah.
Berlin in Germany.
Really?
Hamburg, Zurich, Brisbane, of course, in Australia as well. Amsterdam.
Really?
Even though their canal is smelly, but I think they were like an amber. Calgary, let's go back to the top. Calgary.
That's where's Calgary again?
Calgary is Canada.
Yeah, that's it. Canada.
Oslo.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Minneapolis in America.
No way.
Yep. Minneapolis is really nice. Yes. Minneapolis is clean, so I'm not surprised.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And Toronto again in Canada, and Reykjavik in what's that country?
Iceland.
That's it. The Christmas town it's supposed to be. Yep. Vancouver.
It's Canada.
Yep. Freiburg. I can't remember where Freiburg is. Canberra again in Australia. To mention but a few.
So here's a question: Which country has the largest amount of cleanest cities?
Which country? From what we've listed now?
I don't know. I'm just
Australia.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Australia had how many cities? Then Canada.
Canada.
Australia had Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne, Canberra. Yeah. So Australia had the cleanest cities. Yeah,
there
then
you go.
Canada.
Canada, live in Australia.
Canada had Toronto, had Calgary,
we don't live in
had Vancouver. So that's three. But anyway, this was just the top. In no particular order. But if you have any more that we didn't pick up, let us know. Now,
was there any from England?
Yes, London was on the list.
As clean.
London was on the list, but at the bottom. So that's why I didn't mention it. It was on the amber. So the way this list did it, it did it on a traffic light thingy. The really clean cities had green.
Yeah.
The cities that were clean but were not at that standard of green were amber. Yes. So the way you had clean parts, but the point to get the green, they hadn't got it, but they were still considered clean.
Okay.
Yeah. So the ones I reeled out were the ones who were green. Right, I hope you all. I think let's go quickly. Let's comment on the comments.
Okay.
Before we go into the subject,
on the comments from last week.
That's it.
Okay.
Because I think it would help us segue into
the topic for today, which I don't know what the topic is for this Saturday morning, but hey ho, I'm just like I am gonna find out. But anyway, topics, let's go.
It was interesting that
the comments
were more about the appreciation shout out to you than the subject matter. Thank you all so much, Mr. Femi, Mr. Kule, Mr. Cohen.
What did they say, pray tell?
Mr. Femi goes, Olive's heartfelt thanks to DJ Var really hit home today. It's amazing to hear how much dedication and behind the scenes work he puts in. His commitment fully, truly makes the show what it is. It really is. Mr. Kule says he's up. The appreciation Olive showed DJ Val was so genuine and touching. It's clear that his tireless effort. Oh, he's my big baby. He's my first baby. Mr. Cohen, hearing Olive thank DJ Val for his incredible work was truly inspiring. Thank you. It's clear that his dedication, again, late night troubleshooting. Yep, many. The segment of resilience. So Benita says the segment of resilience. So powerful and encouraging to hear Oliver share the experiences. Like I said, that's probably our unique selling point, in the sense that we're on this journey with you. We're not imitating anybody. We're just trying to become better citizens of this world and better representatives of our God. What an inspiring show today. She just wrote insights on resilience. So now she comments fully on the show itself. And I learned a lot about the benefits of corn cantaloupe. Can't wait for the next episode. The next episode is here. And we're going to go into it really quickly. What a fantastic episode. Ifoma says, talk about resilience, motivation. So now they begin to talk about the show. And Maggie, I really enjoyed the show. To get the focus on resilience was so relevant to my current situation. And the advice was on natural remedies and hay fever was super. I hope the segue into the today's show will also be as relevant to you and as useful. And I think it has been for me, just even getting ready for it. So today we're going to be looking at confidence.
Confidence. The Bible says you need to keep this confidence, which is of great reward.
You were going to break out to the song.
Oh,
I have confidence in sunshine.
I don't know a song about confidence. Keep talking. Maybe I'll think of one while you're explaining.
From Sound of Music.
I've never watched Sound of Music.
Oh, that is true. Oh, anyway, subject for another day. Not watch Sound of Music.
Nope.
Okay.
Don't plan to.
Moving on. I thought you were going to say, oh, I'll try and catch up with it one of these days. It's one of those movies. It just
never moved me. I know, but you know.
And you will love the songs, because the songs are so.
I sing the songs.
Oh, but you know the song.
I know the songs. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Medicine. No, Sound of Music.
Isn't that Sound of Music?
No. Wrong movie.
What's a spoonful of sugar?
Okay, let's move on. Let's not digress. Confidence. What?
And I sang it with real confidence, yeah. Right? I sang it with real confidence.
You sang it confidently. So you will have a lot to add to this subject matter.
Okay.
What's your definition of confidence?
Cool. That's a really difficult one. It is
so vague, so wide.
Yeah, it's so wide. I think being sure of yourself. I would say being unwavering, being confident. It's almost like you have a surety that, you know, you're just able to do it, or you're able to convey something. It's that's confidence is. I know what the antonym is would be being shy, right? That would be. Or shy, or being scared. Confident is not being, you know, just being right. Like then I was singing the wrong song, but I was just
singing it confidently.
Confidently. You know, I was even going to argue confidently at the end. Then all of a sudden I thought, better not. And I became less confident.
All right. Confidence definition is a psychological trait characterized by a belief in your own abilities.
There you go.
And positive outlook on oneself. It is the belief that one can accomplish tasks and assert themselves effectively. Confidence is essential for personal and professional success, as it enhances motivation, resilience, and overall satisfaction in life. So I thought, after resilience, what does I think resilience produces some level of confidence. We talked about that. We touched on that. Like it produces some sort of confidence. And I thought, why not? Let's open up confidence a bit more. Because you hear people say they're shy, they're withdrawn.
Just like me.
Low self-esteem and all of that. No, you're by no means shy.
Really?
Example. No, you're not shy. Examples. You're giving a presentation to a large audience with poise and conviction. Some people, you hear some people say, oh, they just can't handle public speaking. Even if it's to just 10 people, they just can't. They crumble.
Mm.
Making decisions and trusting your judgment. That's an example of being confident. This is just a few examples. In a social setting, initiating a conversation. Some people are shy in the sense that they will not even initiate a conversation. And when you're talking with them, oh my goodness, it's like, just leave me alone, you know? So
I do feel like that sometimes, you know. Like,
you who could talk to the trees and ask and demand that they respond to you. So DJ Val is an example of a very, not just confident, a very confident person. He doesn't shy away from social settings. Any social setting you place him in, he will thrive. He would initiate the conversation. He would approach X, Y, Z. He doesn't wait to be approached. He will approach. And again, whatever task he's given, he just comes with a really, we can do this. And that stems from a place of confidence.
Yeah, I do have a can-do thing.
So let's look at what is real confidence. Because in this world where it's dog eat dog, people have confused confidence for arrogance, confidence for narcissism.
Sometimes just downright being rude.
Yes, people have confused that. So let's get clear on what even the definition, we've just given a dictionary definition of confidence.
Yeah.
In my world, what is real confidence? People who are really confident don't really seek approval from others. Real confidence is that you smile when you really mean it. You say hello to somebody and you really mean it, not just whatever. Again,
I was thinking about me and my walkers, right?
Oh no, no,
I've won them. I've won them all over.
He has a whole clan of dog walkers, this walkers, cat walkers, whichever one.
Yeah.
Runners, joggers, you know, and they're all his friends. He's telling me about them. Oh, remember that person? I'm like, who? Anyway, so and sometimes I listen like I know who he's talking about, but I don't. You know, so real confidence is that you're not afraid also to smile. You're not afraid to be the one who reaches, who extends the white flag, the olive branch.
That's olive branch.
So you will also observe that again, we see overlaps in a lot of our core value pillars as we continue to expound this subject in self-development. Real confidence is not afraid of silence. Some people are in a lift and they go, that was awkward. And I go, what was awkward? The silence. I'm like, but they're total strangers. Why would silence amongst total strangers be awkward? You know, that's also stems from a place of low self-esteem or inadequacy. Real confidence is that you don't shift responsibility. You take ownership of the things that have been assigned to you. As a father, to be a confident father, you take ownership of your role in the home. As a mother, as a child, as whatever the situation may be that you find yourself in, you own it. You take responsibility, you know, of what you've been assigned or what you understand as your response or your area of jurisdiction. Real confidence is that you don't flatter yourself, nor do you flatter others. You're honest in your compliments. You're honest in your observations. Oh, you look really nice today. That's because you genuinely look really nice today. Not because I want to soften you up to get something from you. That's manipulation. Oh, you smell really nice. Like someone said to me, I smell really nice. And I'm like, okay. That's not, you don't get those sort of genuine comments anymore where someone just said, you smell really nice. That's the sort of thing I say to people. You smell nice. You look nice. You da-da-da-da, you know. But anyway, real confidence is that you do love yourself, but not to the point of self grandiosement. Not to the point of, narcissism, or not to the point of delusions of grandeur. So your love for yourself is from a well-being standpoint, is from a preservation standpoint. Mm-hmm. You love yourself because you care for yourself. You love yourself because you want yourself to do good. And you aim to look after yourself for those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Real confidence is that you're not afraid to show your weakness. You're not afraid to admit your weakness. You're not afraid to acknowledge that this is not my strong suit. Can I have some support here? Can I have some help here? Real confidence is that you don't judge others. You don't judge them for their inadequacies or for whatever reason. You don't judge others indiscriminately. You may make a constructive criticism, but not from the standpoint of judgment.
People do that a lot though, don't they?
That's my truth. But your truth hurts somebody else. That truth is bringing somebody else down. Real confident people don't do that, you know. And real confidence is that you know who you are, what you stand for, and what you want. That's part of the reason why we're doing this unpacking of our value pillars, so that we know who we are, we understand our value system, and we know how to defend it confidently. Real confidence is also that you're not afraid to fail. Like I said, I'm not sure if it was last or the first section of resilience. You see challenges or failure as an opportunity to do better. Failure no longer means a negative thing. Failure means an opportunity. To improve. An opportunity. Who's that? Is it Edison? The one who tried and tried with the theory of electricity? Over thousands.
Tesla or Edison?
Sure, one of the scientists.
Remember,
anyway.
Edison gets the claim, but I think it was Tesla that was the guy behind stuff.
Over and over and over and over and over and over before that theory was perfected.
Yeah.
So if he saw the first, second, and third failure as failure, he would have stopped there and not moved on. So failure, every failure for confident people is an opportunity to improve, to get better. Is this a good place to take a break? And then when we come back, we will literally place confidence alongside arrogance and see how we can pull out the differences.
Okay then. Okay, we are back.
Guess who's back?
Guess who's back? I thought of a song actually when you said, "I know who I am." Of course, We are a chosen generation. Got one for confidence though. Wow, believe it. Do you know a song that has confidence
in it? If you know the Sound of Music one, put it there.
A gospel song with confidence.
There are many gospel songs on confidence. Yeah, there is.
I know one about
Auntie Chevelle has one. I have confidence in you.
But it's odd that I don't know the song.
Jesus. You know that? You don't know that one?
No.
You don't know this one?
No.
Yeah, so it's okay, but there are songs. Answers on a postcard. Okay. Songs on confidence. Be that confidence in yourself.
Are you a confidant?
Others, confidence. But the one from Sound of Music, I have confidence in you.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Confidence versus arrogance. So I'm just going to throw scenarios alongside each other in no particular order. So the confident person admits ignorance, and because he doesn't doubt his intellect. So he's happy to say, I don't know, I don't have much knowledge on this, you go ahead, please educate me. You know, and the things that I readily admit that I just don't have sphere over, or I just don't, I'm not that versed in this, in these aspects. So I let it, I leave it off to my husband, and I go, you know what, let him deal with that, he's better with that. Or even Alistair, I'll go, oh, Alistair's good at that, I'll get Alistair to do that. That's not because I doubt my intellect or I put my mind to it, I can't do it, of course I can. But if you're confident enough, you're happy to defer to others and admit ignorance in that area.
It's a bit, but delegation going on there, folks.
No. I'll give you an example.
Give us an example.
Alice is very good at measuring. If you want something measured, say if you're buying a piece of furniture, and we were buying a piece of furniture, and we're like, you know what,
or let's even make putting sure things together, actually,
or even putting things together. Yeah. He's got his toolkit. He will first bring out the manual, read the instructions that he learned from you anyway. Let's still read the instruction first, read the manual. Some people start and then go to the manual. He goes, that's left field, mom, need to read the manual first. No, then account. He's so systematic with it, he will account for all the tools and everything, and so he's good at that. So whenever we have things to do, I've had to put things together in the past myself, but after how many months it starts going wobbly, but he's better. he's better at it, so I let him do it. So even when he was younger, we needed to buy, then our house was so it was so small, anything you needed to put, you needed to measure it and make sure that it will fit in that space, I just let him do it, give me the dimensions. Or even when I make the choices, I'll send it off to him, darling, can you look at this and make sure. That's not because I couldn't do it, but he's better at deciphering these things, and he'll make a better choice. So I defer to both of you on some of those things. So act like a fool when they feel like it, because they don't doubt their worth. You do that a lot. Some people call it self-deprecating, but I'm not sure if that's the real, that matches this. But again, you're the first to make fun of yourself when you're confident, you know, because there's no, you know, you're first to be, make yourself the butt of the joke, or joke about your inner. You look, I was watching, what's his name, the two Roonies recently.
Wayne Rooney and the other Roonies.
Ronnie's. I love all these comedy greats, Malcolm and Wise, Charlie Chaplin, all of them. Yeah. So him, I was watching his documentary, and he that was what, that was the key to his success. He made fun of him before you made fun of him, you know, and eventually got paid for it. So that's a confident person. But an arrogant person acts like he's confident because he really is insecure and wants people to take him seriously. He really is maybe unsure of himself, but wants to be taken seriously.
And wrong and strong.
Yes, right, yes. You know, an arrogant person is offended and displays superiority or self-importance. But a confident person is relaxed and trusts his abilities and his judgment. An arrogant person will rarely own up to his mistakes, but a confident person will willingly admit to their mistakes, like we said. Yep. Arrogant people often act like as though, again, superiority complex. Confident people don't need to act that way. They're happy. I remember the first time someone said to me they saw Richard Branson on the train, and they were like, no, it can't be him. Surely it can't be him. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. That he takes the trains that everybody else takes as well. Yes, but that's, yeah, you know, so that airs and graces that some people put on. Real confident people don't do that. Arrogant people like to brag about their skills and their achievement, but confident people don't need to brag. They talk about their skills and achievement in aid for other people's success. When they talk about their achievement, it's to aid you or the situation or other people. Arrogant people are definitely not good team players, but confident people make excellent team people, team players. Arrogant people, their arrogance often stems from their insecurities and their inadequacies. Meanwhile, confidence stems from self-assurance.
Be self-assured.
Next week, we might have to unpack a bit more about the unpack things like attributes of both confidence and arrogance, condescending, self-perception, how they manage relationships, again, overlapping into some of the subjects we've talked about previously, communication style, root causes of both confidence and arrogance. And I then thought, what does the Bible say about confidence and lack of confidence? Yes, Bible talks a lot about being confident. Let this confidence be in you. And then, but also there's a bit that always strikes me where Paul is admonishing the Romans not to think of themselves, not esteem themselves above others, but to see them, measure yourselves by the faith that God has given you, to live in harmony with one another, but not to be proud or esteem yourselves above others, but enjoy the company of the lowly and do not be conceited. All of that he spoke to when in his letter to the Romans. So if you're suffering from lower self-esteem, let's wrap up with that. And then next week we can go in a bit more deeper into other what we just mentioned earlier. So if
the week after next,
we're not in next week.
It'll be the week because it's men's conference.
So can we then do like a recap week?
What, the following week?
No, this week, like you did. Remember when you did the reels of the recap? We really love that. Okay, you will let us know.
I'll let you know.
Yes.
We might do the recap the following week, actually. That'll give me a bit more time.
How to face lack of confidence. Let's deal with that quickly before we wrap up.
Okay, go for
it. Start by acknowledging. What do you think is the best way to deal with
lack of confidence?
Yes, miss. Yes, sir.
You have to push yourself out there and just start to really build up your confidence by doing little things. So you take a little step in one direction, like maybe.
Okay, so let's take a scenario where somebody is socially shy, and a woman in her 30s or a person in their 30s, and their social skills are so limited. They don't have a network of friends. Maybe they're even single, and again, this inhibition is keeping them back.
I'll give you an example. I think that might work. So many moons ago, when I was a lot younger, so I used to drive, I had my provisional license. I was driving around London, right? But I would never feel comfortable driving by myself. I'd always have people in the car with me, all right? And it was a psychological thing. Then one day, I remember we were driving back from somewhere and everybody in the car was asleep. And it suddenly dawned on me that why do I need to have these people here? They're not even awake. So it was kind of like a thing. I used to get in the car. Sometimes in my head, I just imagine that they're all asleep and I'll just be off driving. And before I knew what happened, it didn't really matter anymore. So I don't know if that
that's
helps.
Because by nature, I think by nature, you're just a bold, gregarious person. You've always been that way. I don't know many people who on their provisional license would be driving people around anyway, but you did that. That's just because you're gregarious, you're bold, but
it was part of me that wanted them in the car as well, as a bit of like a security blanket kind of thing, if that makes sense. And then when I realized that I didn't actually need them, then it was like, yeah, all right, you know, you guys are good, I'm off kind of thing. But I think it's about getting yourself in that headspace and in that mental preparedness to say that you're going to do something. And you have to start with something small and then build your confidence in.
So for somebody who is socially inept,
yeah,
socially who is just shy, withdrawn, you're saying, first of all, acknowledge it to yourself, right?
Yeah.
And then begin to practice.
So you can go out. So you can go out with people.
In a small group.
Yeah. So let's say you went out in a group, right? Someone say, okay, you feel really shy. Okay, go up to somebody and ask them, where's the toilet in the building? Okay, now under normal circumstances, the person might say, I'm going to wait till I get home before I use the toilet, or I'm going to look for it myself. But in that kind of setting, you can say, okay, as you're going through, just tap somebody, say, excuse me, could you just point me the way to the bathroom? And they'll say, okay, it's over there. Then you've gone, and then you've gone off and you've achieved one small thing, right?
Okay. Uh-huh. And so you can then, on the streets of Oxford Street, you know where Selfridges is, but you can still ask somebody, can you point me in the direction?
Point me in the direction.
Good, so if it's in the case of a woman, a good-looking man, you can ask him to point it in the direction. Well,
there you go. That's
Selfridges.
That's another thing.
Yeah. It's so start taking... Small. That's exactly what I was about to say. Start taking small steps. Even though those small steps may be risky to you, whatever area that you're struggling in, be it your communication, your public speaking, just even just relating to people on a social level, just small. And list the times. Like now, if you spoke to somebody for direction, take it and acknowledge it. Serve it to yourself as a win. Wow, I succeeded in that. And then perhaps if the person is still there, come back and say, thank you. Yeah. Step two, yes. Because most times when people give you direction, people just walk away. When I do this, seldom do they say, oh, thank you so much.
There's another great one as well. Mm-hmm. If you're going shopping, spark up a conversation with the salesperson.
Yes. That is true.
So have a topic in mind so that you go prepared, so you're not trying to think what you need to say. And then, you know, you could go in and say, yeah, you know, I'm looking for this. It's really odd what happened to, you know, the station the other day where it shut down. So we, and then, yeah.
Morrison, Tesco, that's part. I don't know about Sainsbury, but Morrison and Tesco, that's part of the till training they give them.
Oh,
always ask the client or the customer, how are you? How's your day been? They always start a conversation. Then you, and some of them, you know, they're so confident about it. They do it so they're all, you're coming from work. Where do you work? And then I'm like, before I've left, I found out I've given away half of my life secret to this person. While they're bagging. But at every point, they're prompting the conversation. There's a few of them are little as well, at least are little. He will always ask you, how's your day been? How are you? You know, and he'll give, because you know, the little tools are so small.
And you never know, it could be a mystery shopper as well. So they have to be.
Exactly. Yeah. But I know those three shops, they always strike up a conversation. Maybe not so much out consistently, a little, but consistently, Morrison and Tesco.
Mm-hmm.
So engage with that. Because some people, and I see some people, they just freeze when the checkout person is trying to talk with them. They're just busy packing their things. Mm-hmm. But if you're in that category,
and again,
where,
just on an aside, just acknowledge them. They always, you know, please, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, you can wish them a nice day as well. You know, just to, you know, you have a lovely day as well. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Those little things can help to build up your confidence if you're having like interactions at that kind of level as well.
Honestly, I remember one time, when I used to commute, I used to get it all the time. People stopped me. You know, I remember this lady in particular. It was the first time a lady had stopped me. It was, the weather was mild, so I didn't have a coat over. And she said, my goodness, you're this, you're that. I don't know what I was wearing, but you look so nice. And I looked at her and said, you don't look so bad yourself. You're gorgeous. Thank you. And I said to her, you know what? It's so rare to find women giving women compliments these days. Thank you. Have a good day. And it stuck with me that a woman took the... She literally came up to me. I saw you cross the road and I was hoping that, I was like, oh, thank you.
You've been walking this way.
You know? And she... So... If you're like that, you know, take little risks to just communicate with a total stranger. Recognize that It's not a weakness to take, to initiate the first step. Be it the greeting, the whatever the case may be, it's not a weakness to initiate it, because that's another thing with people with low self-esteem. Oh, what would they think of me? How would they look at me? What do you think, I'm this and that? No, it's not a weakness, because you're practicing, and the more you do this, the more confident you get at it.
I've got another one as well.
Tell me.
And the other thing is, sometimes if you're lacking confidence, you actually think the other people in the room are potentially more confident than
that's
you.
That's it, yeah.
That's not always the case.
Yeah, it's not always the case.
And you can be, if you can learn how to steer the conversation, people may not even get to know a lot. People want to talk about themselves. So what do you do? Oh, do you have kids? Do you do this? Do you do that? And before you know what happens, they're off talking about themselves.
Yep.
And all you do is you can just jump in every now and then. Pepper a little bit of theirs. So, oh, that's really beautiful. Oh, that's really great. And then before you know what happens, you're more comfortable. Once you can break the ice, that's the, you know, it's that initial bit that they always say is a bit difficult. Once you can break the ice, you're fine. It's just breaking the ice.
Yeah. I mean,
I've got an event called Break the Ice coming up, actually.
Really?
Yeah, 20th okay. of July. So
you tell us more about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the art of communicating we both are strong at. So maybe that's not where you want to strengthen. That's not where your weakness is. But identify it and begin to take little measures in gaining confidence in small that area. Steps. Someone said to me, oh, I'm not that confident at cooking XYZ. But they're confident with doing this. But the more you engage with cooking that recipe, the more confident you get at it. And so it's a good old age-old adage. You become practice brings perfection. You become what you do consistently. So I'm sure 3-4 years ago, if anyone had said to me, I'll be radio with a mic in front of me talking, I'm like, eek, nah, moo.
Having podcasts and Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
I would have said no. But one thing I do know is my mom always said, I didn't speak till I was 5. And then she would add that in. And she hasn't stopped speaking since. So sometimes I have to do this to myself. Stop. So my problem is sometimes I have to stop talking.
You're gregarious. Very gregarious.
So on that note,
yes,
let's do the shout out. I think we've given you enough nuggets to fan your confidence flame, to bring out your confidence feathers.
Be bold.
Be bold, ladies, gentlemen, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're a bit more timid in the colors you wear. He wears crazy colors. I wear black because I've got lots to hide. But if I were slimmer, trust me, I would wear colors. So I tend to put the colors in my jewelry, my headgear and stuff like that. But I do love colors. Some of, ooh, you must be bold to wear those colors. Trust me, if I was a certain size, I would be wearing colors. You know, but so where is it that you need to get more confident, identify it and work on it? Could it be at work? Could it be at, you know, could it even be in just things that have to do with yourself and preserving yourself? You know, it doesn't have to be the big social problems. No, think about it. Do reflect and do a self-examination. And I hope that this would allow you to pick up areas where you need to improve, get more confident for the sake of your own success. Right.
Shout outs.
Yeah, go for it.
I want to say a shout out going out there to Samis Cheetah. It was her birthday in the week, so happy birthday going out there to you, Samis Cheetah. She drops onto the show, so yep, I want to say happy birthday going out there to her. Shouts going out there to all of our regulars as well that tune in, Mr. Kunde, Mr. Cohen, you guys all know yourselves. Thank you so much indeed for your continued support. Femi, Benita, Auntie Awa as well. Hi, Auntie Awa, haven't seen you in a little while. Shouts going out there to you. And shout out to anybody that's new to not just what we do here, because now that we're on the podcast, you need to be podcast aware, right? So you may be finding the podcast as well for the very, very first time. If you are, please do leave comments like people do on YouTube as well. So YouTube, you know, welcome, and you know, leave some comments. Let's introduce yourselves to us, and we will introduce ourselves to you. I guess that's pretty much what I've got to say.
Any further wedding anniversaries?
There were so Bishop's 35.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Still celebrating that. Mm-hmm. Need to do some jollof rice with them, you know. Love it.
Mm-hmm. No worries. And we talked about every other person's wedding anniversary, and we forgot ours.
Oh yes. So last week, like Saturday, was us. Yeah, it was actually our wedding anniversary. Well played. I forgot again. Oh, and we went out for some lovely afternoon tea. I say, would you like some afternoon tea, my darling? I say.
I got dressed.
Uh-huh.
And?
I got dressed too.
Yep.
You didn't go naked. Fully clothed. There you go. Keeping it PG, folks. Keeping it PG.
There is a lovely place called Supwell House. I think they're not paid us for this, but hey-ho.
Yeah.
Let others enjoy. It's not as expensive as, you know, us. We'll give you the bargains. It's not as expensive as...
if we'd gone out for a full meal, it would have been...
No, tea. No, I'm just comparing it to tea at the Connaught Rooms or tea at the Claridge's, tea at...
I think it was like under £40 mm-hmm. each person.
Very, very good. And the selection was very... The selection was just as good as you would get at... I don't know if a Harrods, yes... Tiered house, all those places, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful little those.
The scones,
the
my goodness, look at my tummy.
And the tea, I had this green tea that was the truth. I've never had green tea like that before. It was like, I had some, wow. And then you had strawberry and something.
Please,
or
let's
other.
Let's not talk about I ate everything. You know how when you finish eating, you can almost feel your tummy sticking out. Was how bad it was.
I had a little finger sandwich.
I
as
did
well.
Not care. I ate. It was my anniversary. Oh, anniversary.
And we celebrated two whole years. I thought it was three, but two whole years of us being back together. 22 years now in total. So yeah. So we've got the other anniversary to celebrate in August.
Yes, we have two anniversaries.
Two anniversaries.
Thank you all for all everyone who sent well wishes, those who remembered. And it's funny, those who were at the registry actually remembered. Mama Yad, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank
as
you
always.
So much indeed.
She has a theme song for us. She always sings. Thank you. God bless you. And to every other person.
Let me quickly
person.
Say, Mr. Ola Omole as well. He jumped on this was on Tuesday, but at work, because he works with me as well, he said happy wedding anniversary, because they asked me what I did, and then I said I had a wedding anniversary, my wedding anniversary, and then they wanted more detail. I said, look, that's for another time. It's a little bit complex, but shouts going out there to him and Filson, and there was another one of Naomi as well, three of them, and Savannah, sorry, or they all wish me happy anniversary. So shouts going out there to you guys. Thank you so much indeed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. My family, my sisters went food shopping.
Michaela's birthday.
Michaela, shout out, darling. I'm sure she's not watching, no. We'll have to send her the link to listen to. She's turned a whole 15, and so she's feeling very grown up.
And we went to this food place.
More food talk. Go ahead.
Oh! I didn't know it existed, and it's so close. And the funny thing is, I remember when we were young, me and Alistair always used to go to that Asda in Colindale. It was always great fun, but they've got this food place next to it. Oh my giddy aunt. The food for what you get. I'm telling you, I had a plate of food, right? It was £13. I was hungry. I'd been.
This was Sunday.
Yeah, this was on Sunday. Sunday. I was on a bit of a, you know, I thought, nah. The food was a huge. I ate it all. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't, but the portions, whatever. So happy birthday, Michaela. Thank you, Jenstar, and everybody else for opening our eyes to that wonderful venue. And I'm gonna be going back again, you know?
And thank you for all our fruit and veg. So they went to the big big, huge fruit
and veg shopping. Veg from Spitalfields Market.
Thank you. And again, if you're like us, you like your fruits organic, you like your fruits, you know, just everything's costing so much. So investigate those wholesalers and those big places. Thanks to my dad, keep it up. I know the whole power situation in Lagos is frustrating. We love you. Hang in tight. I shall be calling you.
Hang on, I shall be calling you later.
Mm-hmm. And then for my aunties, everyone, Auntie Stella, Auntie Lena, all of you.
She's back from her cruise.
Cruised out. Cruise control. Mm-hmm. Auntie Stella, thanks for my gift. And I don't know if I should be thanking you for all that bread you brought. But Alistair is grateful. She brought us this huge Jewish roast. It's where do we take the conversation always back to food?
It's got nothing. I mean, we've. It's not down to me this time. So.
Okay. Thank you all so much. Thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you to all our regular listeners, our new listeners, like Val said. And thank you for all those who constantly, your comments encourage us. Thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you so much. And post show, please go and put your comments in. We will respond.
I have one surprise.
Tell me.
Well, it may not be a surprise for you. I think you know about this.
Go ahead.
But we've been working, as we always are, in promoting not just Soul Food Gospel, but the individual shows. So we found out last week that the show is What's On Your Mind is currently in the Apple Podcast Store. And I've been in conversations with another radio station who is now going to take officially the Soul Food Gospel show, which happens on Tuesday. It's now going to be aired on UGN Jams in the UK. See, I covered myself because there's another one of me there. That's every Friday night, 7 p.m. I want to thank Dr. Dave Paul and Auntie Helen LaPaul. God bless you guys. Thank you so much indeed. They've decided to allow the show to be aired on their very, very prestigious platform.
Now, they used to be part of the original what's the original radio station?
So Uncle Dave was on Choice FM,
that's yes. It he used to do a gospel segment on Choice FM, so he comes with, well, he's doing his own thing now because with years of experience he's now using that to also spread out. So, thank you all so much. Thank you all so very much. Have yourselves a lovely weekend. Hope the sun comes out even the more and stays that way. What are you doing? Spot a gardening? Are you cooking? Are you cleaning? Are you chilling? Whatever you're doing, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. If you're still in bed, arise.
Oh, and compatriots.
Stop it. Arise and shine was what I was going to say. Oh no, Mr. Fanny Omi, no way. And if you're cooking up a storm, tell me what you're cooking. Tell me, you know, let me live vicariously through you. And what are you up to? Tell us. We asked you that question last week. What do you get up to when you're watching us? Tell us or listening to us.
And tell us what you want us if there's a topic.
The subject. None of you responded to
that
sentence.
No one's responded yet. But if you've got a topic that you want us to try and negotiate and navigate on your behalf, do let us know. Soul Food Office.
It doesn't have to be a topic. You can just say, DJ Val, what's your thoughts on? Or what are your thoughts on? Something like that. And then we can...
And I may give my thoughts or I may not. It's my choice.
May not. If he doesn't, I'll give mine.
I confidently decline. There we go.
He pleads the
fifth. All right, let's go. We have nearly been an hour for our people and it's a Saturday morning. They've got to get up and or go out and go and do all that stuff. Thank you so much indeed. As I said, do remember to check us out in the podcast store, Spotify and Apple Podcast. And we're also available on all of your other major streaming platforms and live on soulfoodgospel.com, the home of Christian entertainment. Got to put that in there as well. So without further ado, my darling.
May the good Lord keep you. May he bless you. May he shine his countenance upon you. May grace and favor go ahead of you in all you do this week, this weekend, and this week. May his favor be upon you. May he protect you, preserve, and watch over all that concerns you. Do not render evil for evil, but instead be the change that you want to see. We love you. God bless.
Bye.